Good evening, everyone. Sorry we're on late this evening. This is ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti, my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody. I guess the best things are worth waiting for.
That's it. Okay. Good one, Ronnie. Okay, tonight's show, The Unweaving of the Familial Chain of Pain. And tonight we're going to talk about how many contracts are unweaving with twists and turns. Like a soap opera.
If we listen to this show, we'll be done with it?
No, but you'll be a little better prepared.
Okay, great.
Some pieces are being torn apart while others are being brought together on a totally new level. This is a very interesting show, and tonight's dedication to unraveling the familial chain of pain, because God knows we're just trying to unravel the whole history of our planet here.
Freedom. We want freedom.
Yes, that's the goal. So let's talk about what's going on right now energetically. And I just want to, for everybody's sake, lots of fear, pain, rage, anger, dread, blame, and on and on. Our contracts with many family members right now are unraveling. And, you know, the goal is to lift out of our lineage, not only our immediate family, but also the familial lineage. And so there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot. It's a really stressful time, and it's just bringing up every feeling imaginable. Now, I'm going to throw this in here because this has importance, but we're going to address it next week. In addition to all of this, our star friends, what I call the team, which is huge beyond anything you can imagine, is also making themselves a lot more known, okay? Now, it could trigger a lot of love. It can also trigger fear. If you're an abductee, and you have a lot of projections of fear about ETs, this can trigger it. And I've had two situations this week, you know, out of all the people I do. But your translation of these experiences is not always accurate, and we will do a show next week on this to help you understand what's going on. And I want you to understand that our frequencies are raising, which means that we're going to be able to see more. The whole cosmos, everything is moving very rapidly right now. We're lifting, we're moving, we're raising our frequencies, we're making the map, we're leading the way. And so everything is kind of unraveling. And we're waking up. You know, we're going to come to a full understanding of what we have really experienced in the past and why about, you know, our previous encounters with our star families. And I just want to say this. Under deep hypnosis, which is what Dolores Cannon does and teaches, the somnambulistic state, okay, people come to understand that what they thought were negative experiences, okay, or painful or scary, once they're in that state, realize that they never had a real negative experience. But in the translation of our little minds, because the frequencies of these beings are so high that they can even brush you, and it can feel like you were burned or cut or whatever. And so it's our very limited mind, our conscious mind, trying to translate these experiences. Dolores has done thousands and thousands of regressions all over the world, has never encountered a negative experience. Even if people came in and said, I had these terrible experiences, once they were taken under, they saw for themselves that they were not. So
is it just that people are triggering deep fears and nightmares?
Yeah, and that next week we're going to do a whole show on this, about what's going on. I'm really being pushed to do this, but this week, you know, we need to stay with the chain of pain because this is also up. And people, we're moving in every direction at one time. So we're expanding, we're raising our frequencies. Some of us are freaking out over all we're dealing with. And it's understandable.
It seems to me that as you try and extricate yourself from the familial chain of pain, it seems that those who you're extricating yourself from are stretching, kind of elastic stretching, with projection. It's like the projection is what's keeping you all together.
Okay. Well, and it, we talked about this earlier, Veronica. Before we go there, and I want to go back to this statement, okay, I just want to get this in so I don't miss it. Please, everyone, go to your health food store or a Whole Foods, ask for adrenal support, and you want extreme stress adrenal support, because everybody's adrenals are under stress right now. And so if your sleep patterns are off and you're having problems, please, please, I can't emphasize this enough. As we're going through this extreme raising frequencies, you know, I know a lot of physiological discomfort. I talked to my chiropractor the other day who does a ton of sessions, and he's seeing exactly the same thing I am, abdominal distress, constipation, diarrhea, hormonal imbalances, crying jags, uterine and ovarian pain, lots of left side stuff, feminine stuff, feelings of being hyper, exhaustion, deep sorrow. So please, as you go through these experiences, just know this too shall pass, okay? So let's go back to the projection thing, Veronica, because this is it's key. Let me just get through some of this stuff, and then we'll go on to the projections, okay? These are things, notes that I made, because they're really important. And this is about everybody being incredibly sensitive, and yes, this is where the projection comes in. You can, and let's just talk about it. I mean, I love you, Veronica. You always jump right in there. because we're shifting dimensions, we are shifting frequency, we are raising our frequencies. People cannot see us and hear us the same way, because they are still throwing their projections onto us. So regardless of what we're saying, they're going to hear what they are hearing through their projection. They're not hearing the real you. So you're going to have some family members that are going to feel very estranged. Very estranged. And Veronica, why don't you tell your, because I think this is really fascinating about your story about your sister.
Well, it's just, it's interesting because, well, I don't even know how to put it, but it's like the more I try to step out and explain things, the more interesting projections come up. But the projections are like the very things that I'm trying to step out of, I get accused of, and there's no hearing of anybody. But it's interesting for me because all of a sudden I feel kind of separated and safer in myself. It's weird. That's why I called it sort of an elastic stretching out of projections in order to keep us in the same role or something. And then when you're ready to really step away, it doesn't have any impact anymore. It's done. And you realize you can't explain because you've left her identity having to shift because you're gone, sort of thing.
Well, we talked about this earlier, and I'm. Your question to me earlier was, you know, how do you know? I don't remember the exact question.
How do you know when you're done with your contract?
Right. Okay. And in essence, is when it doesn't have any more buzz. When there is no more buzz. Okay. And you know, this went back to your desire to try to fix. And this is for everybody. Okay. We all have this. Built in, it's built into the chain of pain to try to fix family. You know, you try to get this one's estranged, bring them in, and this one's unhappy, try to fix it, and so on. Right now, the kindest thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, is let go. Don't try to fix. Allow them to walk their path, because this is their time to do that, just like it's your time to do what you're doing. Now, this doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean that you don't care about them. What it does mean is that some of them are going to surprise you. They may go into their chaos, their anger, their rage, all of it, and out of that, begin to finally see clearly and take the projections off slowly but surely. Because they're still playing out their end of the contract, even though you've stepped away from it. It is really important not to try to fix it, because you engage in their frequency and lower your own. And that doesn't help.
Well, that's the most important thing, isn't it? Is remembering what we're trying to do here.
Well, we're the map makers. We're making a new map. We're setting a new morphogenic grid. Our goal is to keep our eye on the prize, and the prize is ascension. This is not about leaving everybody behind. It's about making the path so that others can follow more easily, more elegantly. Now, I know this sounds very self-sacrificing, but it's what we came here to do. Okay? Everybody listening took on a difficult life path. If anybody's had a great life, please email me. Okay? I want to hear from you. Okay?
Well, it's been interesting.
Huh?
Well, it's been interesting.
Right. And again, there are people in this lifetime that you're having experiences with. And, you know, this is the one that makes me giggle the most. Okay? Sometimes the ones that have been the most difficult are playing exactly the role they need to play for you to take your power. And they'll continue to spin out until you're disengaged. When you disengage, they can change much more rapidly. But you have to disengage. Now, when you disengage, what I find interesting is other people, cursory people, and I'm going to have you tell your story in a minute, can come in that you never even thought cared that much about you. And they can come back into your experience and say, I want to reconnect. In your case, in-laws, my case, in-laws. But they can come back in and they get it at a subconscious level that you're moving forward. And at a subconscious level, they want to be part of that. Now, you know, the old ego will say, oh, they love me. Well, yeah, they love you, but, okay, this is a much bigger project that you're all working on, okay? It's not just that you're sweet and cute, they love you. It's that at a subconscious level, they know you're going somewhere and they want to go. It's part of their program, too. And they want to be there, feeling this draw to come in close to you, to be around that. Does that make sense, Veronica?
Yeah, it sure does, actually.
Okay. Now, some people, and even friends, are going to have these problems with projections, okay? I talked to a friend today, and I thought, oh. And she said some things to me, and I thought, oh, Lord. And I realized that what she was saying was total projection. And I just thought, okay, well, I got to end the conversation. I said, gee, I got to go. I've got, you know, a really busy day. And later she called and did something very nice for me. It was something I really needed to get some information on, left me the message. And I thought, okay, I disengaged instead of getting into it. You know, I just let it go and let her come back around full circle. But had I engaged, I would have lowered my own resonance. Then I'm engaged, and it takes me down. It affects my day, what I need to do. And I've defeated my purpose. Now I got to bring my resonance back up again. And with all that's going on for all of you, we don't really have the time right now to lower our resonance. Now, lots of stuff is triggering us. Okay? I mean, I had it happen to me this week. And I'll just throw my own story in here for, you know, those that have been listening for any period of time. My son's car was stolen, and I mentioned this when it happened, that I did suspect that his father took it. We've been divorced 22 years, so I want you to know this, and my son is going to be 40 years old in a couple of days. And he then made a call to the insurance company, and we want to talk about projections, and told the insurance company that my son was gambling and doing drugs and was financially distraught and had his own car stolen in order to get the insurance money. And the insurance company told us this, okay? And the insurance company sat down with my son and said, this is insurance fraud. This is a major crime. And my son, who I was very proud of, rather than try to discredit his father, just said, look, I'm here to prove who I am. I'm not going to discredit him. And he produced all of his financial records, all of our phone records, everything, of course. All of this was projection because this is what his father's going through, not him. And they did their investigation, and we got a call a couple of days ago that they've recommended that the insurance claim be paid. And as they said, the first two things that the father said about himself checked out, and it went downhill from there. So now, it was a horrible thing to try to destroy your own son, okay, to set him up for a felony. I mean, this is a defense that he could have gone to jail for. Mm-hmm. And somebody made a comment, you know, about how could I have married him, and I just about snapped their head right off. We were with a group of friends last night, actually, or two nights ago, and I thought it was very interesting that it triggered that rage. And normally, and it was a man who said it to me, and I thought it was very interesting. And I thought, Now, this is not, I'm not telling everybody this to discredit anybody. This is not about that. But it, and as always, my things tend to be a little bit more exaggerated. But what was interesting to me is that, again, in the chain of pain, I found myself defending my position, which was so absolutely unnecessary. To someone who really wouldn't understand anyway. And not to demean that person, but the fact that I would even lower my resonance, engage, okay, did not serve me. Because ultimately I know the whole contract and what it was all about. But all I did was defeat myself. I certainly didn't. But this stuff can come up, and it's going to come up for you. And you know, we've not only had very dysfunctional families, most of us, brother, sister, parents, but we've also imprinted our children with our lineage, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you know, and beyond, all of their rage and anger and shame and et cetera. Those imprints went to our children through us. Now we have kids that are pissed off at us, and we don't understand at all what the hell we've done wrong. And so the kids are now projecting onto us as they're dealing with these deep emotions, and they neither see nor hear the true us. Would you agree, Veronica?
I sure would, and I just think it's really, you know, you said a number of things here, one of which is that, you know, if we're explaining, we're often engaging or we're bringing our resonance down.
Yes.
But I kind of often feel, and I see this with other people, sometimes in explanation, things get blown out and then you get the light coming in. But it's very tricky for me to recognize when there can't be a communication because you're not functioning in the same reality, really. And that is sometimes true with our kids as well.
Well, again, because of the resonance shifts right now, mm-hmm. your in a different frequency. And you're trying to talk to and deal with someone in their frequency. What's real for them and what they see and hear is totally different than what's real for you. If you find yourself explaining yourself. Now, if somebody asks you, okay, well, explain this to me or what about this, that's different. Because it's not a matter of not sharing with people we love, but to engage is a totally different thing. That's still the negative ego trying to defend itself, okay,
mm-hmm.
Or us trying to fix it. And we have all been fixers. That's what we've all been trained to do on this planet.
Well, gee, I thought I was the only one.
No, sweetheart, you're not the only one. No, this is not party of one, Veronica.
But to me, there's still a subtlety about knowing when the contracts are done and when the communication is going to be impossible and simply pulling you down. I suppose you can feel the pulling down pretty fast.
Well, if you enter, you know, well, let's go back, okay? When you enter into conversation with any of your family members,
mm-hmm.
okay, you can really pay attention to when they're projecting onto you, when they're saying things to you that, A, make no sense, accusing you of things that you haven't done,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing things you haven't said.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty damn well be sure that you're in different frequencies and resonances, and the best thing to do is disengage. Lovingly,
yeah.
But disengage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that gets fairly obvious. But, yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When they're ready, and again, this sounds like I'm glorifying this, and please don't misunderstand. When they're ready, they'll come around. They have their own path. They're going through their ascension process their way. All right? For all of us, the goal has always been to help everybody along. But this is a case where the best way to do that is to be a living example, to carry the highest frequency that you can. By carrying that frequency, you activate them, you trigger them, not always in a pretty way. So when you trigger somebody in a negative way, dodge the bullets. Okay? Don't try to be Superman and catch them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I was just sort of fascinated because I have one sibling that I have triggered all my life.
Yes.
I just need to say hello and boom. So I'm like, it's pretty fascinating contracting, isn't it?
Well, and, you know, we talked about this earlier. If they don't hear what you say, do they?
No, not at all.
And yet they project onto you the very thing that they're doing.
Right.
Okay, so you are someone, no matter what you do, you can't win in that situation, can you?
So I tried to explain that. Guess what happened?
You tried to explain it to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how far did you get?
And as elegantly as I could and with as much light as I could. Well, let me tell you. That's how it goes.
This was she speaking to you.
Yeah.
Of mm-hmm. course.
Yes. And
because
so,
what she heard is you were making her bad and wrong. And in her, from her perspective, from her resonance, you're the enemy.
Right.
You're the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't want to deal with what she needs to deal with. She projects it all on you.
But there's something else that's quite funny, actually, because, as you know, I'm a psychic, and I go back in time and so on. And I could see that in another life, in my family, I'm not as tall as most of them. And so in another life, she and I were in hand-to-hand combat, and I was way smaller than she was, and I killed her. So in the middle of one of my rages, I apologized, or one of her rages at me, I apologized for that. But that didn't work either, actually.
Okay, Veronica, it was only one lifetime. Out of 1,000, that's not a lot.
But it was still my effort to illuminate that I could have been dangerous to her at some point. You know, I was trying to kind of heal it, fix it.
You were trying to fix it.
Yeah, well.
And you were also, in a way, making an excuse for her behavior.
Yes.
Okay?
And I was texturing our history.
All right. Now, you are so cute.
But, I mean, there's a lot of different efforts, but I realize you're absolutely right that you cannot communicate when people are in different realities. And so how we achieve ascension isn't exactly a harmonious style. You know?
There is no way. I have learned, I have a family member who does a tremendous amount of projection with me. I don't talk when they come. I pretty much just listen. I have learned that if I say one thing, actually sometimes even if I say nothing, they hear what I haven't said, which I am absolutely fascinated by.
Or they experience a withhold.
No, it never came to that. They actually hear things in their head. I've come to the conclusion.
Well, those of us who are intuitive do that all the time, right?
Right, exactly. Well, and she is. But I've come to the conclusion I've said to my son, why don't you say so-and-so? And his answer has always been, well, they wouldn't hear it, you know, to the same family member. So until they have cleared up and cleaned up some of their issues and you know, and feel safer and whatever in their own lives, okay, the communication, has to be pretty much one-sided and become just a listener. That's mm-hmm. pretty much all you can do. Because the projections are so strong. And now, with your sister, your sibling, she's just plain angry. She's always been angry.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is nothing you can do. And because you're such a sweet, kind, loving person, there is this part of you that thinks if they just understood, it'll all be okay. And trust me, that's not the case. And I would say this to all of you with other family members.
So it's like learning to recognize the intrinsic drive, emotional drive that they have might help, although even that's too complicated.
Again, when you try to go there, mm-hmm. you're hooking into their energy field and lowering your resonance.
Okay, I got it.
Okay? You can't fix it. That's their job. That's what they came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
If they came to you and said, look, Veronica, I'm exhausted. I need your help. I need your advice. What do you think about this? Great. But until that happens, volunteering information that they didn't ask for is not going to help the chain of pain.
Mm-hmm.
They're locked into it. And you're trying to make an effort to step out of it.
You bet. Bigger than an effort.
Yes.
Put a lot of miles on my vehicles.
Yes.
But a lot of people do that. We leave. We try to put distance there, but there's still that huge rubber band that snaps you back in at times.
How does it snap you back in?
I think it's just reaction, projections and reactions and so on, you know. That desire to be a belonger, one of the family, whatever. You know.
The need to be loved.
Yeah. To belong, I think, yeah, and to be loved.
And to be accepted and approved of. And so many of us, and this is a really good point, Veronica, so many people listening tonight have felt rejected by family members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Be it mom, dad, rejected and abandoned, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, children, whatever. And loving them enough to allow them to walk through whatever they have to walk through is really the high road. It's the highest road you can take. When you disengage, and I'm going to say this one more time, you then allow them to step into their contract they came here to work on themselves. and, you know, in your case, you're no longer the whipping post.
Right.
If you don't engage, I mean, they may perceive it and project it in their own minds, and that's a whole other thing. You know, that we're all losing our minds, and I do want to address that a little bit, too. We are losing our minds.
Oh, you just cracked me up the other day when I said, but my guidance said that she's not well mentally. That she's not mentally okay right now. Who is?
Yes, right, exactly. We are losing our minds. Our conscious minds are starting to break apart.
Right.
There's a very limited, okay, lens, context that we have been functioning in. And as that breaks away and we're becoming more and more multidimensional, okay, we are losing our conscious mind and operating, you know, here and there, by the way, out of a higher aspect of who we are, the higher mind. So things, sometimes you'll look at people and they can shift right before your eyes. You may see overlays with them. You may have insights, as you do, Veronica, about past lives, this and that. Actually, everything is really concurrent. So, you know, we're going to start having all kinds of different experiences. So our conscious mind, we are losing, you know, I said something to Bashar one day about being out of my mind, and he said, congratulations. and that's really the truth. That's actually our goal. It's been our safety net, and right now it's our prison. Make sense?
I think it does. What did you say? Right now it's our prison?
Yes.
The mind is.
Of course it is. And for those of you listening, and I always have to qualify this for everybody, for those of you listening who have felt sometimes that you were on the edge of insanity anyway, who've already had experiences and detainments, abductions, whatever, for some of you, you want to hold on to the conscious mind. You're trying desperately to have everything make sense, to keep it logical and solid, and because that's easier to survive.
Well, it's the identity that's trying to survive, but isn't that what we're trying to break free
from?
That
is what we're trying to break free from, and that identity is going to start falling away.
Mm-hmm.
The ego identity is going to start falling away, and you're going to have moments, especially when you're in crowds, where all of a sudden you'll realize, wait a minute, I really don't fit here at all. Or I really have nothing to say to any of these people. I love them, but, you know, I'm not interested in this war or that weather, or, you know, it just will hold no allure. It won't feel enticing any longer. So, you know, we're going to have a lot, and that may happen, again, with family members, with, and this sense that, you know, you may be betraying your family by feeling less than comfortable being around them. It's not betrayal. Because it's not that you don't love them. You no longer resonate at the same level. It's not that you're leaving them. You're just holding a higher resonance. They will, as long as you keep that resonance up, okay, again, quantum physics, okay, really simple. Two resonances come together, one's higher, one's lower. One or two things happen. Higher will come to the lower will come to the higher, or you'll meet somewhere in the middle, okay?
Or you just won't recognize each other.
Well, eventually that will happen, but that means they have to raise their resonance to be around you, and that will become less and less comfortable for them unless they can. When they can, they'll come back around.
And it's interesting because you said it's not that you don't love them, but I'm sort of musing here about how love is very often a description of attachment. And that really
We love everyone. I mean, we recognize that love is the highest resonance.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the unconditional love that allows them to be where they are till they're ready to be somewhere else.
Mm.
That's real unconditional love. Love without attachment and love without judgment. That's a toughie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the highest form of love. Your avatars on this planet, Buddha, of course, comes to mind first in terms of allowing everything to be what it is without judgment. That is the highest form of love.
Non-attachment.
Non-attachment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. It's a huge one. I didn't say we're there yet.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, that's good. Cause
No. And, you know, so I want everybody, but you're going to have moments. And when you get triggered, and this is really important, everybody, when you get triggered with family members, okay, deal with your rage, deal with your anger, deal with all the emotions. When you hit blame, get the hell out. Because blame will take you into a downward spiral. I don't care if they're alive or dead. If you're blaming anybody for your life, your experiences, whatever, be angry. Hit your rage. Hit all the emotions you need to hit. Stay out of blame. Blame is like an octopus. It will weave into everything and keep you right where you are. Immobilized and unable to move.
So you just mean express all the various emotions that come up.
Express the emotions. But if you're walking around blaming, that's a slippery slide. Watch blame. You know, that came when I was doing my notes tonight. That one was just like screaming at me. Because that one could really trip you up. Really trip you up. Now, I'm going to bring in the team, Veronica, so you can ask questions with them and chat with them.
Okay.
All right, give me just a moment here.
Looking forward to this.
All right. We are making the channel laugh. All right. She loves it that we're right there. All right, Veronica, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. So, you're going through your chain of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, the channel did a very good job of kind of hitting all the highlights tonight. We want to talk to you about being gentle with yourself, please, everyone. This is an extraordinary time. There's no such thing as being perfect through this. There is no such thing as doing it absolutely right. Things are going to change before your eyes. One moment this, the next moment that. Intend with every encounter, every experience, to only experience good, please. Regardless of how it looks. Some of you are having frightening experiences. Some of you are having maddening experiences. Some of you are feeling unseated, exhausted, emotional, whatever. I intend to experience only good from this. And I allow that it can change in a moment. So don't hold on too tight to anything right now. Now, if you want to talk about living in the now moment, this is the time to really be in the now moment. Because it's going to change like that. And you're going to watch. Your resonance is off a little bit, and all of a sudden things are going to look scary. Bring your resonance back up, and boom, another surprise, a good one. drop your resonance. Something else looks loose, falling upon, maybe unrelated. You're going to get the messages very quickly now. How quickly? Your moment-by-moment experience can shift before your eyes. In your conscious mind, you don't know that you're creating your reality. In your higher frequency, you are very aware. The higher your frequency, the faster your thoughts will manifest. Remember that. The distance between thought and manifestation soon will be like that. You're in a training period. Stop feeling guilty. Stop shaming yourself and blaming yourself for the way your lives are. If you have a few extra pounds, do something about it. Intend it. Be good to yourself. Move your body. Push yourself out of bed in the morning. Go do something about it. Now, we're not expecting you to change your lives overnight. That's not what we're saying. But stop blaming yourself. If your life is left less than perfect, well, I have this disease or this discomfort. Yes. We're working with you, trying to help you in every way we can. It can change for all of you. This is the time for it to change.
Is it like a download from the universe that all of a sudden consciousness is flowing in and this art of creating our reality is new?
Good question, Veronica. Well, it's neither this nor that. Here we go back to this and that. Remember that your planet is loaded with paradox. So it's not just one thing. All the frequencies coming into the planet. Is your frequency raising? Yes. Are you receiving assistance? Yes. The more you work on healing you, the faster your frequency raises. The more you are aware of healing shame, healing rage. Now notice we didn't say don't feel it. Recognize it. Deal with it. Disconnect. Unweave. Now, this does not mean that you go hide in a cave and not talk to anybody and sit there and say, look, I've done it. I'm there. No. That's not the answer either. That's not the answer either. You're receiving lots of frequency. It's what's making you all physically uncomfortable. Utilizing and using those frequencies with intention for the purpose of healing, shifting, changing, clearing, cleaning out. Incredibly powerful right now. It's all, you see, the frequencies are coming into everyone. It's a matter of who's going to use them and how.
So they can amplify our densities and our old reactions.
Absolutely. Look at the ones that you experience people getting upset. Mm-hmm. They're receiving the same frequency. It's not like they have a gun up. They're aiming them at just certain people. Coming onto the planet, it's pushing stuff to the surface. If you're using it with intentionality, to heal and clear and shift. If you're going to your courage, which is what you all need to be doing, with clear intention, rolling up your sleeves, pulling up your panties, saying, all right, this is it. I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to stop playing the game, and the family game especially. All the hidden stuff, all the stuff that's been swept under the rug for so long. Get it out there. Work with it. Heal it. Don't blame yourself. It's done. Now it's time to clean it up.
But we can consciously call forth the universal energies, can't we, to amplify our ability to clean it up.
Call forward your guides, your star friends and family. Call upon us. Yes. Get up in the morning. All right, guys, this is the day. I'm going to do this and this. I'm setting my intentions. Please join me co-creatively in these intentions. There are beings walking around going, oh, yes, they've got it. Let's go. Hooray. Instead of mindlessly walking through your day. And when we say that, doing things by rote. Every single action you take, everything done with consciousness has huge manifestation, ramifications, implications, everything. Every step you take, taken with love for the earth, has impact.
Tell me, if we heal with the familial chain of pain, that actually extricates us from all that karma, past life and so on, doesn't it?
Well, your goal is the familial chain of pain and lineage, yes. Yes. You're stepping outside of the contracts that you're woven into. How do you do that? You decide. You choose. That's part of wisdom and awakening. The goal was at some point you would all awaken and go, okay, enough, I'm done with this. The extricating yourselves is a little bit more difficult. The codependence. The need to be loved, the need to be accepted. The need for somebody to understand. Don't you understand that I really was such a good person? I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I loved you all. You didn't love me. Well, you'll be there for a while with that one. You love yourself enough to step out. Choose your freedom. Make the map. Others eventually will take notice. Wait a minute, what the hell? She got off the game board. Where did she go? She's not playing with us anymore. What happened? Well, she's just a bitch. Good. Wonderful job. You step away. The game ends for you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They have a choice if they decide to play on without you or not. But you're the one that makes the choice. Out of love for you. Honor for you. Goodness, all of you have worked so hard to be where you are. Well, it's my child. I can't walk away from my child. Yes, you can. You're stepping off the game board. If you have children that are being rude and crude to you, step away.
That's pretty tricky, isn't it?
Are they ever going to become who they need to become with you playing the game with them?
No.
Allowing them to be abusive, disrespectful? It keeps them stuck also. You step away. They can blame you all they want, but they've got no one to yell at. No one to criticize.
Plus, as we step away, there's an empowerment that rises through our soul and our inner, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, without you to beat up, they have to look at themselves, unless they find another volunteer. And many people don't want to look at themselves. They haven't dealt with their shadow. They haven't dealt with their shame. They don't want to see who they are. What they don't understand is in the shadow there are also treasures, but they're still playing this game. So you set them free to then find themselves. What a great gift you're giving them. Ultimately.
I understand.
Highest form of love. But be sure that when you do it, that your intentions are pure. This is not about punishing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you. No, that doesn't work.
Or blaming.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we're getting to the top of the hour.
All right. Well, let us just take a moment, if we may, to love each and every one of you. Just for a moment, let us touch your heart. Your mind, loosening the threads, the constriction and restriction, calming your thoughts, all the what ifs, buts. You see, we love you all. We love you. You're amazing beings. You're doing it. You're doing it. Again, we offer to each and every one of you the ability to call us in this evening. Just call the team. If you desire, we will not come without your call. And allow us just to love you. To send loving energies to surround you in peace. With hope, we love you all, dear ones.
We love you.
You're doing a wonderful job, Veronica. We love you as well. To each and every one of you, we say namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much. And as Jackie would say, a piece of you is in each of us, and a piece of us is in each of you, and it can be no other way. So we say goodnight with many, many blessings and much love.